Beautiful production.
That. So that is a song called Wake Up by Free Weed. And I messaged him to see if I could use it and he hasn't replied. So if he says no, I would do this. Hello, welcome to the One Known Chronicle. This is episode 5. I am coming live from the hills of the Himalayas. Well, the Himalayas are hills, aren't they? I did this twice yesterday and the power went out twice. And the first one was only 2 minutes, the second one was 55 minutes. And it was quite heartbreaking and humorous. And it gave me a sense of freedom a little bit. And the power will probably go out again now. So what's there to worry about? I'm probably going to stop it every 20 minutes maybe so I can save the file. But we'll see how we go. So today I'm going to read a story, a blog post from the One Known Chronicle. And then on Instagram I ask people a few questions. I mean, I asked if they wanted to ask me questions to talk about. And people actually replied. So the four questions was, why did you go to India? Because I am in India right now. I left Australia a week ago. Yeah, what week? Today. So why did you go? The difference of travelling from being at home in Australia to travelling solo. The cleanliness of the river and the food. And a topic that someone likes to talk about is cheating. So we'll see how we go. First of all, I'm going to read this blog post as a bit of a warm-up. And then we'll get into that. And before, as a disclaimer, I'm sometimes repeating myself now, so yes, I'll try and stay present. Before I do this, obviously, there's a part of me that wants to keep saying, I don't know, what would I know? And to save the hassle of that, we would just put it on the floor first that, yes, it is true, I don't know anything. And I'm speaking on my perspective, and as the listener and the speaker, because you cannot interject, unfortunately, I'd like for you, though, to still look at this as a discussion. And this is the process, not the product. So as if we're both looking at a chair from a different angle, I'm speaking on my perception. Rather than you taking my word for it, you can also look at the chair. Speak from your perception, and then therefore we have a better understanding of chair, which in this case is a metaphor for the truth. I'm still getting used to reading out loud. That is something that I'm working on. That's fine. You got to do it to improve. So forgive me. And I think it's all about controlling the breath, not feeling the panic of time, relaxing. And analysis prevents action. So this is a story that I wrote one of the first or second nights when I got here. I'm in Dharamshala, which is, the foot of the Himalayas. Beautiful place. Highly recommend it. Very, very nice. The Small Blue Bird Bleeds Black Ink is the title. And the blue bird is... The beer they have here is Kingfisher, which is nice beer, very strong. Kingfisher Strong is, hence the name. And it has a blue bird on it. So I was drinking on the balcony and these are the words. And the blue bird bleeds black ink, which is the words. This is it. The beast unseen, the routine, the slow callus of the soul. How quickly we fall into the beautiful comfort of the monster with a velvet mouth. Familiarity, security. The sound of the door slowly creaking closed, the spirit realm behind an eerie knowing you can't trust. The price I pay to get to the source, to fall into the current, to remember what all this is, a whispered sentence. The beast in front of you slays your heart open, and the blood of the kingfisher is black ink, is music, is art, is God. You are never by yourself. You are with yourself. And that loneliness is a reflection of your company, your presence. How beautiful to wake up knowing what the plan is, knowing the timetable and the meals, and you stop believing in God, not because of hardship or intellect. You just don't think about him. Because he is within you. She is within you. And you are without, behind the thick layer of skin. And there's no reason to go in there, because the man outside is in control. The man on the outside has it all sorted. Until life happens. Until the slow pressure of mortality and impermanence slowly builds on the glass, holding the welling swells so precious. The waves in the ocean and the clouds in the sky, they remind you it's always moving. Then you hurt your back and you get scammed. And your shoelace breaks. And you can't find your wallet. And your favourite TV show is ruined by success. Then all the music starts to sound the same. Starts to sound bad and irrelevant. And the movies are boring because you want them completed. And you realise you feel the same but without a reason for it. Then that makes the same feeling a little worse because it has nowhere to dance. It's like being hungry after a meal. Like being hungry because you're bored. You start to ask yourself, what's the point? As if there needs to be one. As if logic is life. As if reason is dignified. And the thick layer of skin that is the callus of the soul is what I like to call the ego. He's very sure of himself. And he is very beautiful. And I need him the same way a landscaper needs a shovel. But he has one problem. He knows he's going to die. And not just when the body I've borrowed to experience the brown eyes of beautiful women, the smile of my niece and the humour of my nephew behind his ears, but he is going to die a few times a day. Oh, there's a storm coming. That was definitely going to go out. He is going to die a few times a day. Lost my spot. He is going to die because he is a mirage of his surroundings. Because of the voice in his head, the biomes in his stomach and the needs to survive. He's going to die because he was designed to, because this is what keeps him alive, as someone new in the same time in a different place. So the fear is back, because I venture away from the comfort of a room I share with my brother. And I go to write a new book and realise I am nothing. I see the new faces without the courage to care what's behind them. Yes, I might not know anything now, but I'm doing my best to keep the eyes open and the heart alive for when I do. Because everyone I love will die. Some before, most after. And I will die and meet death, the lonely skeleton. And when I do, I'll give him a hug, saying, I wasn't too late. Because I do have empathy for death, for everything he touches dies. What a heavy burden to never be consoled, never be hugged, to never be welcomed. When it is my time, I wish to show death a smile. I wish to hold him, because we are all alone. We all need a warm embrace from time to time. So I packed my bags and headed to India again. And if I could find my if I could put my motivation into a nice little sentence, I probably wouldn't need to. Maybe there is nothing for me at home just now, except everything that will still be there when I return. I have missed that type of fear, the type of fear that requires awareness, to make sure you don't lose something, something like your passport or anal virginity. I like feeling small. I like being on the same side as my ego, the same side as my soul, and close to that energy source that we all share. Even if you, tall pine tree to my right, the trip was a cold with your shade, even you. When you feel small enough, you slowly become everything, and you realise how good the sound of an old man's voice is as he sings with sincerity. I don't want to hit the hash too hard and become an antisocial reclusive mute. I don't want to hit the piss too hard and become a lazy grump. But I am in the same town as the Dalai Lama. And what are those wants but cheap desires? Dharamshala has changed. The Israelis that funded the cafes and jewelry shops have gone home to slaughter small brown children. And I miss them. As I walked up the steep hill to my favourite cafe, where I used to paint on the tables, drink, smoke, and my inner turmoil was portrayed as contentment to the external eyes to consider me wise, it was gone. Sky High Cafe is gone and stripped of all its essence as three new faces pounded the empty rib cage I knocked on the door. Yeah, she's gone. Left about 6 months ago. To come back to the same place has its joys. Because I came here last year. That's why I come back. You can see how far you've come. You can remember the fears that now seem trivial. You can push your shoulders back with a sense of confidence and pride in the fact you know where to go. Then if the place has changed, you are nothing but just you again. It can fill you with a touch of deep sorrow, what the kids call FOMO, the fear of missing out. And the place is a place. And the place is a place. And the people are no longer within. As if you're going back to school, but none of your classmates have. None of your friends. And I say, hello, beast. Hello. Cut me clean in half and let the spirits out. I love them. I miss them. And they type now. They talk now. Scared, but expecting it. With faith. Faith without a religious affiliation. Just faith that everything is going to be something. Something all right with alchemy you're learning. Turn it to gold, Riley. To the deep voice of Dave Van Ronk. With the warm kingfisher in your hand and the frozen toes on your feet. With the memories of the strangers who became everything. Look at all those strangers down there, waiting to become my wife, my best friend, my stories. And a donkey walks up the hill, a hill that is covered in rubbish. After a man peeled free an ice cream and handed it to his girlfriend as he threw the wrapper on the ground, being romantic and disgusting. And now a lady walks up the hill. She's protected from rape by God, making her the ugliest bitch I've ever seen. And the donkey throws his big long head at the dog who is curious in his conviction. And everything is freezing whilst the beer stays warm. And he litters whilst being romantic, giving an ice cream beneath the smell of the snow and slapping Mother Nature in her gorgeous face. And nothing makes sense as they stop playing cricket for 2 seconds to let the donkey, the ugly woman, the chivalrous disgrace, go by with his Juliet. As a man who is writing books for people who do narcs a book sits on his balcony watching. I just have to say, to be in a world that doesn't make sense, not being able to make any of myself, and still feel okay, to still hear the youth in music, the wisdom in words, the love in a smiling face, and the warmth of beauty in everything you know enough about, it just feels quiet. Relaxing. The blood of the kingfisher, the small blue bird bleeds black ink on the page. Welcome back. So, that was all right, wasn't it? And I think a lot of that, those topics will kind of answer the questions that I did. But, I mean, I still have some little thoughts to talk about for those questions. Nice. I don't know if you can hear the thunder through the system. I brought my podcast equipment with me. Weighs about fucking 7 kilos. And my bag weighed 10. So there's only 3 kilos left for little Riley. Cool. Okay, so this question was asked by Matt Van Bale. And I'm going to dedicate this whole episode, I mean, let this episode be sponsored by MVB Plumbing Group. You can follow them on Instagram. It's plumbing business in Melbourne. And it's been a great support. So thanks, Matt. He said the adjustment from travelling, from being home to travelling solo in India. And I'm going to answer this with a poem. So more reading. I went to the restaurant without my phone. That's the title. And watched him eat his Indian meal with a knife and fork. I'm so much better than him, I thought. Without my phone, I watched him on his. He was British, in India for the cricket, and a group of 15 were in the background playing cards, and I thought to myself, how good is cricket? And at 8:07 p.m, whilst on his phone, with headphones in, he ordered a cappuccino, and I sat there shaking my head slowly, thinking, I am so much better than him. Obviously a lot of irony in that entire poem, the fact that I went there without my phone and just sat there watching someone on his. But the reason for saying that and travelling solo, like people asked, I travelled for 7 months last year on my own, and I say, what was it like being alone for 7 months? And I feel like saying, with your phone and technology and group chats and apps and FaceTime, all that stuff, you cannot be alone for longer than 7 minutes. I don't think I was alone for longer than 7 minutes. So that adjustment is, sorry, let me change this a bit. That adjustment is still you. All your vices don't really care about what the vice is. So the idea of traveling solo isn't really that big of a deal, I don't think. Once, obviously, it's very scary in the first place, but you can just be you in a different place, and your mind doesn't know if you're in a room in India scrolling through Instagram for 4 hours compared to being in a room at home. Your mind doesn't know the difference. So the adjustment is still within, even though your outside changes, and maybe because the outside changes, you can see things a little bit clearer. But then you're probably just creating another ego that'll just die as soon as you get home. So the adjustment's fine. Why did you go? This was asked by Lachlan, my brother, a great writer himself. Noise. I haven't got my stand, so I have to hold the microphone because the stands are too heavy. So hopefully the sound's all right. Hopefully it's good. Still in my fucking... too much. I just have to go for it. I'm scared. You can hear the rain. I think. So, this question, 1 second. Well, I had a little adjustment. What was going on is when I had a setting called Noise Gate, which I just found, and it blocks out all the background noise. But because it started to rain, you can hear the rain now. So whenever I spoke, it would also bring in the rain, and it created like this thing that maybe only I could hear. But I am just a dead set sucker for quality, and I want the best sound for you guys, you know. But yeah, that oh shit, it might start snowing. Fuck, I think it is snowing. Cool. I've never ever been in the snow before. So you just saw that reaction live. So I'll do this. Maybe it's just hail. Nah, it looks pretty fucking nice, I don't know. So right now I'm in my little bed with my legs crossed. It's nice and cozy and it's snowing outside. So wherever you are, I hope some of that sincerity comes through the frequency and helps calm your heart. This is, my question from my brother. Why did you go? Honestly, there's so many different aspects to look at this. Some I look like a hero, some I look like a running towards, whatever. But I'm going to tell this story. So I left, I sold my house with the money of the house that was also... So 8 months before I came away, which I came away last February last year, I went overseas by myself for the first time. Obviously, absolutely terrifying. But there was something there that said, you know, what's going on? It's not working the way we're going. And if you really believe in all this shit, then show it, prove it. But yeah, the 8 months leading up to me going away, and which is one side of it where I my back was really bad and I couldn't work out what it was, so I wasn't working, which added to the financial strain. And so I had bad back, no money. Couldn't even think, because all I would think about is that scary stuff. Now I go away for 7 months, come back, write my first book, Free Will, which is available on Amazon. Do all that, publish it. Pretty much no one fucking buys it, so that was a bit sad. And then I decide I'm going to go back to India to write my next book. So that's the playbook of people say, are you going back to India? What for? I'm going to write the next book. Nice little westernized answer that ticks all the boxes to make people go, hey, he's doing some work. He's not just fucking going around, fucking around. And then I wasn't working, and I'm still living off the house money. So I'm just looking at the snow. I wasn't working, still living off the house money, and that number, obviously no money coming in, it just started to, I started to obsess over that number. I wanted to have this certain amount of time before money before I left. That would make me be able to stay for at least 3 months, and then I can go back and start having, like, okay, how am I going to join society again and earn money and have my own space, all those type of thoughts in the future. So the money was going down a little bit, and I started to be really worried about it. So I'm having these things where I'm worrying about money again for the first time in 12 months, thinking you threw it all away to be here 12 months later, nothing to show for it, and all you do is have no money and you don't own anything. You're a fucking mollusk, brother. And the Saturday, so actually when I was away, my back got better. I still don't even know what the fuck it was or is. But the Saturday before I go away, so a week and a bit, so two Saturdays before I went away, I was at the gym and I hurt my back again. And it was the exact same feeling. So for that 3 days, it honestly made me so depressed, having a bad back and just thinking, not even that it's bad right now, I'm going to have this for the rest of my life, because what more can I do? I can't even go to the gym anymore because I hurt my back. So pretty much the point is, 12 months later, after doing all this kind of stuff where you thought God was going to reward you because you're so brave and dared to follow a dream, and you've watched too many movies and you think that you're Neo, I'm in the same position again. And during the week, so the Wednesday before I went away, I was at the pools trying to get my back better, just praying that it wasn't the same as before and I'm in for another 8 months. And my friend, my best friend, Jai, who I love very much, he messaged me saying, do you want to go meet at the place? We'll go to the movies, get some dinner. And it honestly is one of the greatest leisures of life to do that, to go have something to eat and go watch a movie with your best friend. But I messaged him saying, I'm worried about money. I didn't really want to drive in there because of petrol, and I'm fucking depressed because my back's sore. But I'm like, I'm going to come anyway. So I'm in this state, kind of going there thinking, how am I going to do this without spending as much money? And then same issues, feeling depressed because of my physical state. We go to see the movie. The movie just won an award, actually. It's called Zone of Interest. It's about the longest serving Auschwitz Nazi, and it's pretty much just like about his family. And it's real bland, and that's the idea of it, to be bland. And I was thinking, cool, I get the idea of being bland, but give us fucking something. So I found it quite boring, to be honest. And then after we go to that movie, we went and had a drink. And I paid, and it cost $22 for two wines. And then I got a message like 10 minutes later saying, from my bank, in the same message thread as other messages, saying your last transaction had to be cancelled. Follow this thing, log in and correct the problem. And the first thing I thought, honestly, was I may have just saved $22. And I'm in kind of like still in this frantic state, carrying the past and the future on my shoulders. And while I'm sitting next to Jai, as if I'm on autopilot, I'm clicking this, logging into this website that was my bank, and I just wasn't conscious or present. Ended up being a fake message that led to a fake website, and I got scammed $6,500 within 2 minutes. So all this worry, all this obsessing over the number, now a massive chunk of it is just gone. Someone's just taken it. And I was on the phone for 3 hours, hopefully get it back. But it was interesting to observe that whole thing, an interesting lesson, because obviously, like, in this realm, like, I'm fucking sitting cross-legged in a bed in India. In this realm, there's a lot of talk of manifestation. And I kind of think it's a load of shit. But that was a classic example of, because of the way I was thinking and I was so obsessed over not spending money, and I was so stuck to the conditions of the past and what things were going to be, that I never actually just took the time to just see things for what they were. And if I was at a different time, I would have just known that was a scam straight away. If I just had the presence and awareness to take a step back and say, everything's fine. Because what actually ended up happening is all I did was strain my glutes and my back is fine now. So that was a whole universe that didn't come to fruition. And the whole money thing, I haven't got it back yet. Hopefully I do. But it also made me realize those concerns can manifest into the real life in that way. So it wasn't as if God come down and put those scammers in place to do that, but those say that scam was always going to happen, but it was me and my set of beliefs that created this issue. So it's that long story of why did you go. I think sometimes you need to leave home to learn to live there, because obviously I've done all of that stuff, feel okay, now I'm this. And within 3 months of being home, I'm in the exact same position where I have a sore back and I'm stressing about money. So the idea of, and what I've found since coming back this time, is when you come here, your mind doesn't become free, or your thoughts don't become free. They just start to mimic your surroundings. So the first time I left, I thought, okay, now my thoughts are this and they're all different. And I'm going to take that back home. And then all that happens, because you're still connected to the thoughts, is they just mirror wherever you are. So that's a lesson to try and not run away, but to work out how to stay present and clean. I think that is why I want to leave. Long story. But that's it. So that's why I went. Because I got fucking scammed and I'm trying to find him. He's probably here. Next question. This is from my mother. How cute. She asks me, I would like to know about the cleanliness of the river and the food. Okay, Mum. Well, for starters, I am not somewhere at a river. There's no river in here. There's a waterfall. And I guess you could call it a creek, but I wouldn't call it a river. Same way I wouldn't call a faucet a river. But the water here is literally melted snow. And now it's not even melted because it's just snow. And you could honestly drink it. It's just melted snow. You're the first human to even see it. And then in Rishikesh, where I went last year, which is 4 hours north of Delhi, that's where, like, the Beatles went, and it's the yoga capital of the world. That is on the Ganges. And I swam in that every morning. And that water is very clean also. And it's big and it's flowing. And you can literally see the bottom you can see 4 meters before you can't see the bottom. I'll give you that. Not four, maybe three. So that's clean. But I also went to Varanasi. And that is where they burn the bodies. They actually burn bodies in Rishikesh too, but a bit further down. And people swim there. Kids, babies swim in that water. And I would not swim in that water. Because it's honestly fascinating how a toddler can swim in that water. But if I did, my body would just be like, what the fuck? Because I heard of a story of a girl who did that. Like a yogi said, no, it's all good. You can come. And she went in and she was in hospital for like 30 days. So, yeah, case by case. And the food is, I never really had Indian at home because I'd see it in food courts and see like a 14-year-old weak thigh sitting in brown sauce and think I would much rather go to Macca's. So I just never had it. But then I come over here and whatever I eat, it's like, this is the best food I've ever had. So that was the idea. Yes, it's the best food I've ever had. And then I go home and have Indian and it's pretty shit. So for people who love Indian food, if you come to India and you just go to literally any restaurant, just a hole in the wall, you'll have the best Indian food you've ever had. So that's my answer on the food and the river. Hopefully that suffices, Mum. And I hope you're doing well. Okay, so the last topic is cheating. And this comes from Kieran Sheen on Facebook. Thanks, brother. Appreciate that. When he first messaged it, the reply to the question, I thought he was having a go at me. But this goes to show where my head was at. But it was sincere. And it did catch me by surprise, which made me think about it. And the more I thought about it, the more I don't know about it. And the more I don't know about something will probably be the more I talk about it, trying to find some understanding for myself. So I'll let that be known. And I'll do my best, but also try and keep it short without the ability to, you know, capture something that I probably haven't yet captured. So obviously when we talk about cheating, I don't know, for me the first thing you think about is adultery, relationships. And then it's interesting how we do differentiate those ways of cheating where one is better than the other. Whereas if you were to cheat on the golf course, you know, that's not as bad as cheating on your wife. Or if you were to... Yeah, that's a good enough example. So to peel it right back to talk about cheating, it's probably just more talk about lying. And I think that is really the fundamental ingredient of cheating, is that you're lying. It's a lie. You're breaking a contract of the truth. So why? Why do we lie? And in a relationship sense, I can speak from experience, is because I'm so scared to be not who I am. Because I'm so scared to be who I am, I have this image, and this image is who I am. Look on Instagram, that's who I am. And because I'm so scared of these fears and all this type of stuff, instead of feeling them and creating a space, say with your partner or even with yourself, that allows clarity and observation to see what is, not what you want to be, then you start to feel, in your partner, you start to feel jealous. And you say, I'm not jealous. I'm not someone who gets jealous. So now instead of feeling jealousy, you're feeling the fight with jealousy. But still, it's too much. I don't want to feel it. I can't deal with this. I don't want to deal with this. So I'm telling you, you're not allowed to do this. That's now another agreement we have in this relationship. You don't do that. I won't do that. That's fair. So the restrictions you put on others, you really put on yourself. And there's no freedom within that because of this restriction that you're too scared to feel these certain emotions. And that can start so small. And it really does start within yourself. And I'm a cheat. I mean, I'm obviously... So to speak of experience of, say, why did you do that? And I think it was that I didn't have the courage to see myself for who I was, and I was too scared to be alone with all of that. And you could say you cheated to end the relationship, but really maybe you cheated to get into the relationship. And those little lies that you tell yourself, now you're living someone else's life to put this image up that makes sense because you're too scared to feel alone. And your loneliness is such a big space that you're running away from, and how much damage I caused people because I was running away from this space And then now I find out the space is just this eternal place that if you sit within, all it is just a place that's beyond your knowledge. And that's fine. And nothing's going to eat you. But it's running away from it that gives this, that creates this big shadow, if you will, Carl Jung. So to speak on cheating, I think everyone could look at themselves, and I guess that's what meditation is, to kind of observe what you actually are. And then maybe you wouldn't hurt someone because of your own conflict. So these little lies, whether it be, you know, I don't smoke that much, or I don't drink too much, or no, I like this, I like her. But to actually try and see things for as they are, and then only if you have the separation to realize that you're that thing, because the observer is the observed, then you can actually change something. Because we're trying to change things that aren't even it. What they are is just, like I said, a mirage, an image, to really get these little surface level pleasures of validation, and to say, yes, I exist, I am a person. And if you can somehow, like I haven't worked that out yet myself, but with another person, create a space within yourself, which is very scary because you have no control in there. It's presence. So there's not all the knowledge of the past and build up memories to project the future. You are just in the present, and it's scary. But whether how much you pretend you're not there, that is the only place where understanding and change can come from. So if you can create that with your partner and have the ability yourself to not make her lie to please you, or you lie to please her, then I think you can kind of have a relationship where you still are growing, but you're not now like one on one makes three, not one on one makes 0.82. So that's what I think of cheating. I think that a tiny little lie is big enough to become a world war, pretty much. And I think if you look at all lying like that, with the discipline to observe and not try and change too much, but just see what it is, then maybe the cheating won't happen. So I think of cheating as across the board. Done. That's my thought. Be patient with yourself. Know that space, where all that fear is coming from, that's chasing you. If you sit with it, that space becomes a little haven, and that's what love is. And the whole discipline of doing that is not a chore, it's an act of love to yourself. Yeah. And on my thing, for me, obviously I don't condone my actions. If I did, I wouldn't have changed my life so drastically to ensure it didn't happen again. But I think I can understand them, and then through that understanding I can forgive, which is a part of ensuring it doesn't happen again. So just truth, man, just truth. Now I'm going to finish with a poem. I don't know if I've already said this, but I have this written down, and I think this is poetry of fucking 8 minutes of rambling. It is not the knife that kills the sacred cow, but the final straw. And it is this final straw only because of death. There you go. Now this poem is called, and I'm going to finish as soon as I finish this poem, so thank you to everyone listening. Follow Wandong Chronicle on Instagram. We just got Ashlyn on board. Beautiful girl, great writer. And thank you, whoever is listening. I really appreciate it. And namaste. If you don't mind, I would like to dance. What big feet I have. both of them right. And watch me move if you're brave enough, babe. Watch me move. Don't call me babe and fuck off. Such a pretty face to spit venom. She smiled and she stood, and I took her hand in my palm. Fuck this fucking poem up. I'm going to start again. If you don't mind, I would like to dance. What big feet I have, both of them right. And watch me move if you're brave enough, babe. Watch me move. Don't call me babe and fuck off, she replied. Such a pretty face to spit venom. She smiled and she stood, and I took her hand, and my palms held my life story and hers hers. And eternally, within the space of movement, within the space of a moment, I showed her that God really is within, and her little heart behind the silk red dress stopped beating for a minute to say, thanks, she needed this work. I said, heart, I got one of my own. I know the struggles of practicality. Hmm, the mind interjected. A man with a sense of logic still willing to dance. Mind, I have one of my own, I said. I know the troubles of borrowed thoughts. I am not offended, lied the mind, begging her to sit, begging her to drink more, begging her for more, and together laid silence that would frighten many, and in that silence you could see the breath preparing for the change. Excuse me, said the moon. You are not excused, I replied, and I punched the moon as hard as I could, and the astronauts lost their golf balls, and I had no empathy because I only punched myself. A great white shark swam by, and I commented on the darkness of his eyes. I'm not here to impress you, he replied. Well, may it be so, but with that reply you have. And the shark laughed and swam 80 miles alone. And I danced with a red silk dress beneath a bruised moon, and it's over now.